Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play Stores.
Here in Spain, we have Bolivian Franks Brett Hansen today joining us. How are you, Brett?
I'm good, thanks, Howard. Pleased to feel cooler than the last few months or weeks. How are you?
I'm cool as well, so that's great. Anyway, this week we're going to look at strategic financial planning for expatriates in Spain, what it is, how it helps you, and the steps you need to take it, and so on. In our last discussion, Brett, we talked about investment planning, so this week we'll widen the theme to financial planning as a whole. So you and Chris McCann often use the term strategic financial planning, but what does it exactly mean?
Well, Howard, if you were going to, say, build a house as your new home, I would imagine you would first want to have a clear plan of action on how you're going to do this. I've never actually done this myself before, but I would imagine you would first evaluate how much you can afford to spend on buying the land and building the property. You would thoroughly research as to where you would like to build this property and the implications of building there. Probably using a lawyer with regards to ensuring that there's no issue with the land and surrounding area. You would probably carry out quite a detailed search to find the right architect and builders to design your dream home, ensuring that your requirements are all being met, but also making sure that the best materials and finishings are also included. And you would also need to have an agreement as to when you will pay the installments for this property, and a plan on how you would meet those costs through the process up until you're in a position to move in. And of course, you will want to ensure that you can afford to maintain and live in that property thereafter. And clearly, the more detailed or thorough the plan, then more likely a successful outcome with regards to the property meeting your expectations. But a poor plan, where you have perhaps cut corners with regards to the right expertise or not considered all of the possible factors or have miscalculated the costs, could lead to disappointment or, at worst, a financial mess. And so strategic financial planning, I would say, is pretty much the same process I've just described, but applied to your finances. It should consider your current specific situation, i.e., where are you now with regards to what assets you hold, your current income, and where you're living, and look to where you want to be in the future. It will analyze your objectives or goals, both lifestyle and financially, and then plot a route to get you from where you are now to where you want to be. For example, you might right now be listening to this broadcast on holiday here in Spain or from your main home in the UK, but you are seriously considering moving to Spain to live in the next 6 months to 3 years. Strategic financial planning will analyze your situation and take you through the steps you need to take with regards to your finances, visas, etc., in order for you to be able to move to Spain. It will assist you in making the best financial decisions based on your needs and objectives, and best allocate your financial resources in order to plan for the future so that you can maximize your enjoyment whilst living in, say, here in Spain. And perhaps thereafter too, if your objectives include succession planning, i.e. how you want to leave your assets to your loved ones.
This sounds quite scientific. Is there a process you follow?
Well, I wouldn't call it scientific, Howard, but it's very different to the kind of advice financial advisors were providing some years back, when you would sit down with an advisor and they would simply sell you a product or a range of products depending upon what your needs were. For example, they may have recommended a critical illness policy in case you became ill and were no longer able to work, or a life assurance policy in case you pass away leaving a young family. A strategic financial plan is different to this. It's a process where we first have to really understand what it is that the client wants to achieve over the longer term. We then have to look at all their assets and see how best they should be structured to achieve their objectives and what steps need to be taken in order to get the client to the position of being able to achieve these objectives. And this strategy can actually play out over several years, especially when talking to British residents wanting to move to Spain, because it's imperative that if we are restructuring assets in order to achieve their objectives, then the timing of this has to be correct in order to avoid what could be some quite horrendous tax consequences. This is very important when people are planning to move to Spain from, say, the UK, and they have various things that they need to do before they move. For example, they may want to sell their UK main home, but if they get their timings wrong and sell it in the year that they move to Spain, then depending upon when in the year they move to Spain, they could find that the sale of this property is liable to capital gains tax in Spain, even though it was sold before moving to Spain. Likewise, this could also happen if they have, say, ISAs, and they encash these, which are tax-free in the UK, but are liable to tax in Spain. And when they encash these, again, if they encash these at the wrong time, it could lead to tax implications here in Spain.
Would you say that the common theme across all this is to help people protect their wealth?
I would say, Howard, that for most clients, protecting their wealth is certainly a key consideration, especially for our retired expatriate clients. Many of them have worked hard throughout their lives to get themselves in the position that they're in, and they want to be able to enjoy what they have made in their life and enjoy their retirement, not lose it to tax, either when making the move to Spain or whilst they're living here. But protecting one's wealth goes much further than making sure we keep what we have. It's also about making sure it doesn't erode due to inflation, currency, or mismanagement.
What are the key threats to our savings today?
Yeah, I would say there are two key threats to our savings today, which I've just touched on answering your last question, Howard, and that's inflation and tax. I think they have always been the biggest threats, though they feel particularly relevant or prevalent now because of the rapid rise in inflation rates in recent months and the tax increases which we've seen over the last few years and expected to see in the coming years. We're also seeing British expatriates retiring to Spain younger than in the past, some retiring as young as 50. And this means that both inflation and tax could have a bigger impact on them, as their retirements could be more than 40 years. Even those retiring to Spain later than this, at say 65 or 70, still need to think in terms of the longer term when it comes to their savings and assets, and that they could see retirements in excess of 20 years. And even with money on bank deposits still earning no or very little interest, even with the recent increases in interest rates, there is generally a need to do something with our money in order to reduce the impacts, certainly of inflation. Then there's tax. Most developed nations have high debt and clearly unsustainable future outgoings, particularly when it comes to health and social care. I'm afraid that governments will need at some point to increase their tax take even further in order to bring down this mountain of debt. No one likes tax increases, and governments generally don't get into power increasing taxes, but at some point it's going to have to happen. We've already seen countries like the UK and parts of Europe having their highest overall tax rates when taken into all taxes that come from that country, higher than they've been for many years. And so if you are thinking of moving to Spain or you're already living here, you do need to consider how Spanish income, capital gains, and wealth taxes will impact you and your savings, and how Spanish inheritance tax and possibly UK inheritance tax, if you're a UK domicile, will impact your beneficiaries. Another consideration, Howard, for British expatriates when considering their income and wealth and living in Spain is also currency, especially for those whose income is coming from the UK, whether it's from UK pensions, the UK state or government service pensions, or investments and property in the UK. This is because this income will always be paid in sterling, and yet for those of us living in Spain, our currency of expenditure is euros. And whenever you hold money or are receiving money in a currency different to the currency you're spending, you're always faced with a potential currency risk. Of course, if the pound is strong against the euro, then this can work in your favour. But if the pound is weak against the euro, then this could have quite an impact on your living standards. Only just less than 7 years ago, in November 2015, £10,000 of sterling income would have got you around 14,200 euros. However, right now, £10,000 would probably get you around 11,400 to 11,500 euros. That's quite a drop in 7 years.
So how do you help your clients protect their savings and assets from these threats?
Well, Howard, when it comes to inflation, as I said, nearly all of our clients are retired, and so they are by no means looking to take high risks with their money. We totally understand that they do not want or can afford to lose their money, as they're not in a position to go back and work. Of course, the problem is that no risk often means no or very low returns, and this is a risk in itself, especially where the rising cost of living and taxes erodes the spending power of our money. And so I think most of us recognize or accept that for some of our assets, exposure to market movements does give us a better chance of outperforming inflation and producing what we would refer to as real returns over the medium to longer term. We therefore stick to investments which have been around for a long time, and we understand exactly how they work. We avoid investments that we do not understand or which sound too good to be true. And so when it comes to inflation, we tend to combat this by investing in a broad range of what I would refer to as traditional investments, i.e. cash for emergency needs, bonds, real assets such as infrastructure and property funds, and equities. And the composition of these would tie in with our client's specific attitude to risk. And then we would diversify further by not only holding a good spread of investments in terms of asset classes, but also by geographical regions and market sectors, so that you're not overly exposing your wealth to any single country or sector of the investment markets. And we also stick to fund houses or investment companies who have been successfully doing this for many, many years. And then when it comes to tax, there are a number of legitimate solutions to being able to minimize our clients' tax liabilities in Spain. But which solution or solutions a particular client should use and how they will interact with each other really does depend upon each client's objectives. But there are ways to minimize Spanish income and capital gains and wealth taxes in the same way that there are ways to legitimately reduce Spanish succession and UK inheritance tax. And by developing a strategic financial plan, we can look to minimize taxation on both the restructuring of our clients' assets and ensure that they are tax efficient whilst they're living in Spain. And of course, let's ensure that they're tax efficient also when those assets pass on to their loved ones.
How important is it to take personalised advice and make sure your financial planning is based on your specific situation and objectives?
Personalised advice for financial planning, I think, is just as important as obtaining, say, personalised advice for health. And by that, what I mean is, if you've got, say, two friends who are both suffering from back pain, perhaps the back pain is in a similar position on their backs, you wouldn't dream of one of those two friends seeing consultants, having tests, scans, and then, say, an operation to fix the problem, and then the friend having the same operation without going through the same process on the assumption that the advice for the two of them is the same. Just because both have back pain and their objectives are the same in that they no longer want to have that pain doesn't mean that the remedy would be the same. And likewise, whilst broadly speaking to two individuals may have the same objectives financially, there is likely to be some differences, certainly with regards to the assets that they hold or their personal situation and to the timings. For example, when they're retiring, or when, if they're living in the UK, when they're moving to Spain. And so this is why a strategic financial plan does need to be personalised and specific to each individual situation and objectives, in order to ensure that every detail is covered and that there is no room for error. For example, selling an asset at the wrong time.
Finally, what advice do you have to help people choose the right financial advisor to help them do all of this?
Yeah, that's a good question, Howard. Prior to Brexit, UK financial advisors used to be able to advise their clients living in Europe under EU financial services, under what was called passporting rights. But the UK lost this right when they left the EU. And so UK-based advisors are no longer authorised to give advice within the EU. In fact, over the last year or so, we're hearing or reading more and more UK-based advisors contacting their clients who are living in Europe to inform them of this. And this also applies to a number of UK banks, investments and insurance companies. I know, for example, that in recent months, a major UK bank has informed its European clients that they can no longer retain their UK bank accounts with them, and they have until November to move their money out of these accounts. Blevins Franks has spent close to 50 years advising British nationals who live or are wanting to move to Europe, and we specialise in providing cross-border tax planning, estate planning, and investment advice and pension planning through our 25 local offices across Europe. And so if you are thinking of moving to Spain, or you're already here and are concerned about how your assets are structured or what your tax liabilities will be, then contact us via our website or give a call to your local Blevins Franks office. Likewise, if you have any particular tax, investment or pension questions, then we'll endeavour to answer it. And if we're not able to help you, then I'm confident we will be able to pass you on to someone who can.
Excellent. And a port of call?
You can obtain information about where our local offices are and our services at www.blevinsfranks.com.
Many thanks, Brett. We'll talk again in a fortnight.
Thanks, Howard. Look forward to it. Take care now.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.